this afternoon, but he didn't do it. He's very disobedient. I told him I wanted us to sing Father Abraham this afternoon, but apparently he didn't do that, and he actually was going to do I'm in right, out right, up right, down right, happy all the time, but he didn't do that one either, so pray for him. He's a very disobedient young man. Open your Bibles today, please, the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. I won't keep you long. It's been a long weekend for many of you with the teenagers and working with the teenagers. And I mean this. I've said this already, but I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I'm really very appreciative of everyone that had a part in the teen conference and making it a possibility, you know, making it all possible. And you all, we had a very short amount of time to put things together, but you all came through as you always do. And thank you for that. Thank you for your willingness to be used of God to minister to these young people. And I got a real nice text from Brother Jeff saying that his youth are excited. His exact statement was, thank you for putting the teen conference on. He said, our young people are pumped, is what he said. And that's a good thing. The word pumped is a good thing in the context of teens. And so, again, thank you guys for everything that you're doing with our teens. They love it. They're having a fun time, and they're growing, and that's really encouraging. And, again, it's a blessing to be part of a church that believes in that and believes in teen ministry. Let's all open up. We've got our Bible now. You got your spot, so let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. The Apostle Paul, contextually, the Apostle Paul is writing to a young pastor. It's a young man that really Paul had mentored, and now Timothy is pastoring a big city church, the church at Ephesus. And Timothy is, you know, we know, Bible scholars agree, that he seemed to have been a timid young man. And it's the reason Paul had told him to, as far as use a little wine for thy stomach's sake, and then often infirmities, because he had a nervous stomach. And it was medicinal purposes is why Paul told him to do that. But one of the things I love about the Apostle Paul in his letters to this young preacher is the Apostle Paul doesn't pull any words. I mean, he goes right at the heart and really uses some great words to encourage him. And he does so in the context of a local church. And we see in verse 15 of 1 Timothy chapter 3, and this is what we'll preach on this morning, just one verse. This afternoon, excuse me, but one verse, he says in verse 15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, that we ask that you will have free reign in our midst today. And we pray, God, that what is said and done will truly, and we say it all the time, but God, we mean it. We pray that you'll receive the honor and glory for what is said and done, and we pray that you will have free reign. We pray, Lord, that you will accomplish your purpose, and I pray, God, that you will use your word to encourage our hearts. We thank you, Father, for the church. We thank you, Heavenly Father, what a beautiful, blessed life that we have because of the ministry of the local New Testament assembly. We think of our dear brother Gene Buckner today. Lord, he's on our heart, and we just pray that you'll be with him as he has pneumonia. Pray that you'll touch his body, that you'll have your will in his life. And be with Miss Carol, Lord. Just give her grace and the family as well. And we love you. Help us to love you more, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm honored. I'm blessed, and I'm honored to pastor a church. I'm honored and blessed to pastor Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. I say to you often, and I sincerely mean this, and I've said this to you for years, that I do believe our greatest days lie ahead of us. And the reason I say that, you all right, Gerald? Everything good? What's that, Thomas? What's that? All right. I do believe that our greatest days lie ahead of us. And the reason I say that is because of the God that we serve. He's a great God. He's an amazing Savior. He loves to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask, all that we could ever think. Andrew, will you check on him for me, please? And as a result of that, when you come to this portion of Scripture, the Apostle Paul makes several statements in the context of the local New Testament assembly that I think would really do us well to really kind of focus in on and kind of see what he has to say about it. The local church, and I mean this, the local church is a special place, ladies and gentlemen. It's a special place. Amen? Oh, it's going to be a long afternoon. You've already been put to sleep. But it is. It's a special place. And why is it a special place? Well, because of some of the statements that Paul gives here, we'll just look at three things today. We see, first of all, notice what Paul says about it. He makes a statement here, really, that's kind of an indication as to God's presence. The Bible tells us, he uses a statement, look at verse 15, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself. And then notice this, in the house of God. The house of God, the local New Testament church, he calls it the house of God. This sets the church apart from all the other places, all other assemblies. As much as I am thankful for a lot of the different organizations that help as far as people, whether it be the Salvation Army or whatever it may be, I'm thankful for those kind of organizations, but I will tell you, there's nothing like a local New Testament church. There's something special. There's something special about the local assembly. Paul says the house of God. If you think of that, if you kind of understand that, when the church is spoken of as a house of God, it's setting the church apart from any and all other places where people gather. It is a description that says that the church is a place where we're literally, it's a house, it's a dwelling, if you will, of God and God's people. A house is not a place where you go to visit. It's a place where one lives and one dwells. To call the church the house of God is to say that the church is a place where God's presence abides. I'm thankful that the local New Testament church, we've seen God do some amazing things. You say, Pastor, how do we know God's presence is at Emmanuel Missionary Baptist? Well, I think one of the ways we know it is the evidence of, we know he's been here. The lives that have been changed, the lives that have been saved, the marriages that have been put back together, the teenagers who have found hope and have found a place, a safe place to land. What a tremendous blessing, the ministry of a local New Testament church. I'm grateful, and Pat even talked about that in his prayer today, that this church, Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, this church is needed in this community. The Lord Jesus Christ has placed us in the city of Warren, Michigan, not to build we're not a kingdom, as far as I'm not a pastor, I'm not a king of a kingdom, if you will. We're just pastoring of a church, shepherding a flock. But this local assembly is here to reach those that are yet unreached. We're here to make a difference. We're here to make a difference for God, his honor, and for his glory. And as a result of that, the local church indeed is a place, it's a house of God. It is a place where God's presence abides. It is a place where God loves to actively show out his power and actively show out his presence in the context of changing people's lives. What a joy it was this weekend, and with Brother Fain and his preaching and the singing and all the aspects that the young people had and all the fun that they had. You know, I'm thankful that a church is a place where you ought to be able to have fun. Can I get a witness in this room? Amen? It ought to be a place where it is fun. It ought to be joyous. It ought to be a fun thing to come to the house of God. It ought to be a place where people feel comfortable. It ought to be a place where, even though we should feel comfortable, it also should be a place where lost sinners are confronted with their need to trust Christ as their Savior, with their need of knowing that if they die lost without Jesus, they'll go to a place called hell. But the wonderful news is to know that Jesus Christ can save them and change their life. I was thrilled today as I was coming in. There was another gentleman that was here this morning, and I said, "Hey," I said, "I know you." He said, "Yes, you do." And he says, "Do you remember where you know me from?" I said, "Oh man," I said, and before I could say it, he goes, "Yeah, you preached my brother-in-law's funeral," and that was earlier in the year. And it's amazing how God, through even situations like that, how the Lord is bringing people to Emmanuel Baptist, where we've had a privilege of maybe ministering to them and during death or a loved one that has passed. And, you know, but the church, there's something special about the church. And let me be more specific. There's something special about Emmanuel Baptist. Amen? It's a place where people come and more than one person over the year, much more than one person has said to me, "I'm thankful, Brother Tracy, you have such a sweet church. And everybody made me feel so welcome." And that's the way If we look at it in the context that it's a house of God, that's what a house should be. Amen. A house should be a place where you can come and you could come and, you know, has a sense where you can relax and you can rest as far as listening, preaching, and fellowshipping with other brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a place where, indeed, as a house of God, God's presence is here. There's something special about the church. You know, we've raised our kids to understand and hopefully understand that the church, that there's no institution on the planet like the church. The Lord instituted the family, yes. He instituted the church, the local assembly during his earthly ministry. But there's something so special about the church. It's my prayer that not only do my kids stay in church when as they grow older, it's our prayer, and I know you have the same prayer if you're a parent. It's our prayer that when they marry, that they'll raise their kids in church. And then you say, Pastor, why is that? Well, because it's the local New Testament church where God tells us that he receives glory. Unto him be glory in the church. The local New Testament church is a place where indeed God, his presence is here, but we also see his power. The Bible tells us, and Paul makes a statement here. Look at the text. He not only calls it the house of God. Look what he says here. Which is the church, verse 15, of the living. Underline that word, living. It's the church of the living God. I say to you all the time, we serve a risen Savior. We serve a Savior who is alive. He's not a dead Savior, as I say to you many, many times. If Jesus had stayed dead in that tomb, he could save no one. But because Jesus rose again, he's a living Savior. That's why Peter even said in 1 Peter chapter 1, that he has begotten us again unto a lively hope. Literally the word lively means a living hope. Our hope, we have hope in a living Savior. We have hope in the Savior who gave his life 2,000 years ago. He was died. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And as a result of that, Paul tells this young preacher, hey, Timothy, it's a house of God. Understand that the local New Testament church is a place where people should want to come and be a part of it and feel welcome. That's what a house should be, right? That's what your home is. It's a place where people feel welcome. It's a place where people are greeted perhaps with a smile, and a place where people are appreciated by each other for being there and being a part of that unit. That's what a church should be. It's a place where everybody should feel a part of it. It's a place where everybody should feel welcome. It's a place where everybody should understand that God loves them, but also we love them. We love them, and we want them to be part of the local church. So it's a place, though, he says, it's not only a place of God's presence, it's a place of God's power. Why is it a place of God's power? Because he's a living God. He's a living Savior. And I'm thankful today that here we are 2:40 in the afternoon and we're almost done. I'm thankful, though, that Jesus Christ, as a living Savior, he loves to change people's lives. He loves to come into your life. He loves to, and I've said to you often that the Lord loves us just as we are. He does. He loves us just as we are. But he loves us too much to leave us that way, right? He loves us too much to leave us that way. He loves to change our lives. He loves to radically change our lives. He loves to infuse our lives with his power. And as a result of that, I'm thankful that God, as I said earlier today, I'm thankful that often God loves to come in and really shake up the routine of our lives. God is a God that loves to stretch his people. He is. He is a God that loves to stretch his people. Why do you think God does that? Do you think God does that because he wants to show us that we, with him, we can do amazing things? Without him, though, he said, without me, you can do nothing. Wise is the church, and Mike even said in his prayer, wise is the church that understands that we need the Lord Jesus, we need his power, we need God to have his will, we need God to stretch us, we need God to stretch us and spiritually, in our lives, as far as with our walk with him. I'm well aware that a lot of folks have chosen to go to First Baptist Hazel Park and unite over there. But you know, having said that, though, here's what it does. It gives many of you an opportunity now to step up and be involved and get involved in different ministries and different opportunities of serving the Lord Jesus. Who would have ever thought that your little son would be leading an invitation today? You couldn't see him, but I promise you, he was back here. He was back here, and he was leading. And I tell you, when I said, hey, Joe, I said, can you lead the invitation? He goes, Andrew's going to talk to Pat. If Pat can't do it, he said, I'll do it. I said, do just as I am, Joe. He goes, okay, Pastor, I'll do just as I am. So apparently Pat wouldn't do it. So you got one son that's obedient, at least, and we're thankful for that. But who would have thought that? Who would have thought? Oh, I'm sorry, there's Jimmy. Yeah, Jimmy. Well, Jimmy's the newest member here, so we can't make him mad, but we can make the rest of them mad. We might as well hit them all. Y'all would come forward during invitation, I'm sure. But anyway, but honestly, in all seriousness, the teen conference, many of you jumped in, and many of you just jumped right in there, and that's what it takes. It just takes obedience. I remember recently talking to some, and I asked them what their passion was, and they said, well, honestly, our passion is, you know, we've always been the kind that, hey, if there's a need, you know, in a ministry or whatever, and if we can serve in that need, to meet a need, if we can help out to meet that need, that becomes our passion. And I love that, because that's what it takes to build great churches. It takes people that are willing to get out of their comfort zones and allow God to use them, allow God to stretch them, and allow God to mold them and do exceeding abundantly above all that they could ask, all they could ever think. That's the kind of God that we serve. It's a place of God's power, but it's also a place where God's principles are given. The Word of God, He tells us in this verse, and I'm almost done. He says in verse 15, He calls it the church of the living God, and He says, the pillar and ground of the truth. I'm grateful that the church is a place where the truth of God is proclaimed. The truth of God. What truth, preacher? The truth that Jesus Christ, look at the very next verse. I love this because it's right in the context. In verse 16, He says, here's the truth, without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Amen? Jesus Christ, the God-man. 100% man, 100% God. John said the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. John chapter 1, verse 14, I believe it was. John says, Paul says to Timothy here, Timothy, you always remember that the church is a house of God. Timothy, you always remember, it's the house, it's the living God. It's a church of the living God. And Timothy, you always remember, it's a church that it's the pillar, it's the ground of the truth. What's the point, preacher? The point is, God in His great wisdom and God in His great power has chosen to deposit His truth into the local New Testament assembly. And as a result of that, it's important, it is vital, that we stay true to the Word of God. It was Dr. Adrian Rogers many, many years ago who did some research into one of the, you know, some of the greatest churches, the top 25 churches of that day. And they started looking at different, what was the correlation between the similarities, if you will, of the top 25 churches in America. And there were five key things, but a couple of those that really stood out in my mind was they were strong Bible churches. They were strong Bible churches. Another one was there was a really passionate spirit of conquest. There was a passionate spirit of conquest, and there was also it was a place of joyous worship. In the Church of the Living God, it should have all of those. It should have a place where it's strong. It's a strong Bible church. No matter what we do, we should always understand that we've got to maintain of being a strong Bible preaching and Bible teaching church. This book, listen, you know this, but this book changes people's lives. It changes people's lives. I was talking to Sandra Hillkirk. Is she here today? She was here earlier. She might have already left. Her granddaughter, Heather. Her granddaughter, Heather, she's been praying for years. And she come up to me. She says, hey, preacher, she said, did you see my message? I said, no, I didn't see your message. She goes, I put it on Facebook. Maybe Miss Leslie might have got it. She said, but my granddaughter Heather, she said, she gave her life to Christ, preacher. She got saved. And she goes, man, she goes, when she came over and she was telling me about it, she goes, we were hugging and we were crying. And she goes, she's been reading the Bible every day. Here's the backstory of the story of Heather. We've been praying for years. She's had her struggles. She's had, you know, addiction struggles and all that. And her grandma's been praying for a long time. You said, preacher, what's the significance? Why are you telling us that story? Let me tell you why I'm telling you that story. It's this book that changed her life. It's this book that changed her life. The church, that's why we do what we do. We love to have fun. We love to do all the things and all the extracurriculars in the rec centers. And we love doing that. But young people, the main reason we do a teen conference is to get this book in you even more. That's why we do it. The main reason we do missions conferences, and we're hoping to have another one of those. Really would love to have another one. As we pay this debt off, I'd really like to have a big one, Brother Bill. I really would. I'd like to have a big conference like we used to do and bring 40 or 50 missionaries in. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't it be great to bring 40 or 50 missionaries in and just love on them and encourage them and just really just pour into them and just kind of, you know, rejuvenate them if they're discouraged some. But why do we do what we do? Why do we have conferences? Why do we have revival meetings? Why do we have teen conferences? Why do we do all that? Why do we have Sunday school? I'll tell you why. Very specific. We are very deliberate. We are very intentional. It's to get this book in you even more. Why? Because it'll change your life. It'll change your life. To say what my granddaddy told me many, many years ago, he told me, he said, "Oh, buddy, if you read this book," and he's holding his Bible, he said, "if you read this book and you abide by this book, you'll turn out to be a pretty good boy. You'll turn out to be a pretty good boy." And I hope that's true of my own life, but I know indeed it's true of the Bible. If you get it in you, it can't help but produce fruit in your life, and it can help but really manifest itself in transforming your life. Get it in your family. Get it in your personal life. Get it in your marriages. Get it in your relationships with your kids. Finishing out verse 16, and we're done. He said, "God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." The church, in verse 15, it's a special place. Why is it a special place, preacher? It's a special place because Jesus is here. That's why. The church is a special place because Jesus Christ is here. And I know you do this. I know you know this, and I know you want this. I want to be where Jesus is, don't you? I want to be where Jesus shows up. I want to be where Jesus Christ shows up and manifests his power and changes people's lives. That's the kind of church I want to be a part of, and I'm grateful to God that that's the kind of church I am a part of. Part of a church that gets excited about souls. I've had people over the years ask me, "What's the secret to Emmanuel?" And I've told them, the secret to Emmanuel is just getting your people to love Christ, getting your people to love souls, getting people to understand that if we're going to do anything for God, we have to do it now. We've got to do it now. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised another week, another day, another year. We're not promised any of that. What we have is now. What we have is right now to build a great work for the kingdom of God and further his kingdom. One of the boys in their prayer even said that, to further the kingdom of God. That's why we do what we do. That should be why we do what we do. We want to make a difference for his kingdom. Giving more, giving financially to make a difference. Giving of our time, giving of our talents, giving of our treasures, giving of all our resources, using our connections to minister to people, coming together and getting, we've seen that over the years. We've seen how God has allowed us to have connections, whether it be through Miss Kelly Clesia or Tracy Shear and others, and we come together to help, to further the cause of Christ. That's what we do. That's why we do what we do. Why? Because one of these days we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll give an account with for our lives and what we've done with the resources God has entrusted us with. And I hope, ladies and gentlemen, that we understand the value and the importance of serving the Lord Jesus Christ through the local New Testament church, where he receives honor and he receives glory, and lives are changed. Lives are changed for his honor and glory through local assembly. Let's all stand, please, for him invitation. We are going to sing a verse or two. If you're here today and do not know Jesus, sweet friend, I encourage you this afternoon to repent of your sin and believe the gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the saving of your soul. Maybe you are saved. Say, "Preacher, I know the Lord is my Savior, but well, God's really touched my heart about something," and you'd like to respond during an invitation, we give you an opportunity to do that. What's your number, Andrew? 405. Watch that wall. 405. You come as we sing.